Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur Brachos Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf to view today's Mark Tosfos using the popular Gemara marking system similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you're not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. The Tosfos at the top of Daf Mem Tes, Man de Omar Eino Tzricho Malchus, Kosovar de Oraisa. This Tosfos is referring to a section of the Gemara on the upper quarter of the page, where we saw Machlokis Abi Yosi ben Estoy in the Rabbanon. The fourth brach of Brichas Amozan Atova Meitiv, does it require Malchus in it or not? The Gemara said that the shita that holds it requires malchus. In other words, you have to open up with Melech Olam, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hokel Ovinu Malkeinu Adrenu, etc. That represents the opinion that Birchas Hatova Meitiv is Durabonan. And the Man D'Omar that says it doesn't need malchus is of the opinion that it is D'Oraisa. And being that it's Doraisa, so in it's really a continuation of the other Doraisa brachas of the Birchas Hamazon, and hence it does not need to have Elokeinu Melech Olam, insofar as it is a bracha hasmucha lechaverta. We look at the Tosfos. Man domer eino tzricho malchus kosover Doraisa. Hiksha Rashi. Hoyel vehi Doraisa amai posachas beboruch. Rashi asks that once you're telling me that Hatoiva Meitiv is Doraisa, and therefore it doesn't need to have its own Malchus, being that it's a continuation of the previous Brochas of the Birchas Hamazon, and in effect benefits from the fact that the Birchas Hamazon opened up with a Brocha having Malchus in it. So then Amai Poisachas Beboruch, why does the Hatoiva Meitiv even open with the word Boruch? Hosmucha hi. It's Samuch L'Chaverta. Take, for example, your Shmona Esrei. In the middle of the Shmona Esrei, you have Ato Choinin L'Odom Das. It doesn't open up with a Boruch Ato Hashem for the very simple reason because it's Samuch L'Chaverta. It's part of a chain of brachas that began, opened up, the Shmona Esrei opened up with a Boruch. So all the subsequent brachas don't need to open. So here, in the case of the Birchas Hamazon, you're telling me that Hatoiva Meitiv is D'Oraisa. Why does it need to open with Boruch then if it's Somuch L'Chaverta? The Tirates, Rashi answers, D'Ktsarahi. The fourth bracha of Birchas Hamazon is considered a short bracha. The Havya Hoido Be'Almo, and it is a simple expression of thanks. Kibirchas Peros, Ubirchas Mitzvahs, just like the brachas that we make over fruits or mitzvos, they too open with a baruch, and there's no closing because they are a bracha ktsara. V'tema. There is what to question. It's a tema, an expression of intense question. Amai shinu osa yoser mishar brachas hasmuchos shechoismos velo poschos. What
is different about this Hatova Meitiv? Once you're telling me that it's Somuch L'Chaverta, then why is it different than other Somuch L'Chavertas that do not begin with Boruch and rather end with Boruch? Hoyo Udoraisahi, Hoyo Lanu L'Harich Bo, V'Lachton B'Boruch, V'Lo L'Shanos Mishar Smuchos. Since it's Doraisa and it's Somuch L'Chaverta, so we should have had an extended closing of it with a baruch, but not opening with baruch. V'yesh lomar, Tosfos answers, the in hochinami. You're really right. Uleman de isle shehido raisa hoya choisin v'lo poseach. According to the dea that Hatova Meitiv is doraisa, in fact, it would not have opened with a baruch. It would have simply closed with a baruch. Like we said before in the case of the Shmona Esrei, even though that's not Doraisa, but nevertheless it's an example of Somuch L'Chaverta, you say Atochin L'Odam, so you open up with a non-brocha term, and you say Baruch Ato Hashem, Choneras, at the end, it closes with a brocha. V'chein Isa b'Toisefta b'Hedya, and in the Toisefta it says so explicitly, Rabbi Yosef Grivi hoya marich bo v'choisem, that when it came to the Tova Meitiv, he would have a longer closing to it, namely he would end off with a Baruch, but it wouldn't have opened with a Baruch because it's Samach L'Chaverta. Omihu Anan Kaimolon, but we hold Shehi Midarabonan. When we look at our texts of Birchas Hamazon as they appear in our standard Sidurim, we're working with the Shita that holds Hatova Meitav is rabbinic. Ulekach Tzricho Malchus, and therefore it needs to have Malchus. It's not viewed as Samach L'Chaverta, needs its own Malchus. Kida Omar, as the Gemara said, Tzricho Shtei Malchios Bar Midida. It needs to have a reference to Malchus twice besides its own. But the point, what we're emphasizing now, it needs its own Malchus. Because, and notice at the Birchas Hamazon that we say, because we're working with the Shita, we're paskening that it's the Rabbanan. It needs to open with its own Bracha and Malchus, because of the fact that it's Rabbanan. It's not Samach L'Chaverta, it's not considered attached to the others, which happen to be the Oraisa. The next Tosfos, Lomar, Shetzricho Shnei Malchios, Bar Midida. When looking at the Birchas HaTov HaMeitiv, there has to be a reference to Malchus on two occasions, besides its own Malchus at the opening of its paragraph, where we say, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, that's its Dida, that's its own Malchus, and in the course of the HaTov HaMeitiv, so we make reference to another two Malchios. And the Gemara elaborated on that, as we learned during our Gemara Shir. So the two other Malchios that are referred to are Chado de Boinei Yerushalayim. One is because in the third bracha of the Birchas Hamazon, the Boinei Yerushalayim bracha, it mentioned Malchus Beis David and not Malchus Shamayim, the Lav Orach Arah. The Tosfos is simply paraphrasing the Gemara. Vegam bo ein yecholim lomar malchus, and in the Boni Yerushalayim bracha itself, you couldn't have had malchus. Tos smucha he, it's samach lechaverta, so we couldn't reference the Almighty's kingdom in that third paragraph because it would have ruined the form, the bracha form. Al kein omro batov ameitiv. Therefore, it's accounted for by an extra malchus that is stated in the HaTov HaMeitiv. After we say Baruch Ato Hashem Malkeinu Mecholam, we also say Hokeil Ovinu, and we say Malkeinu. And then later we say HaMelech HaToiv. So that there are two more Melech references to the Almighty. And since we had to insert a Malchus reference in honor of the third paragraph, Omar Nami de Birchas Horetz, we make a Malchus reference in honor of the Birchas Horetz, Afapi Shihis Muchal Chaverta, even though Birchas Horetz, technically speaking, does not need Malchus because it's Samach L'Chaverta. So then, why bother with a Malchus at all? Hayu v'loi niskenu bozeh achar zeh. Since the three paragraphs that constitute the Birchas Hamazon were not formulated at one time, one after the other. Yoshua tikein Birchas Haaretz and Moshe tikein Birchas Hazon. The first paragraph was established by Moshe Rabbeinu. The second paragraph was formulated by Yehoshua. Mishum hochi nokat malchus. The lo avi smuchos. Therefore, there is a need to make a reference to malchus in the HaTov HaMeitiv instead of in the Birchas HaOretz. Because on a technical level, they're not samach l'chaverta, because of the fact they were formulated at different historical points. Umihu anan hoyo viniskinu al haseder, but we who say the Birchas Hamazon in a formal sense, all the paragraphs together, they were set up together, In other words, even though they were originally authored at different historical points, but they were then unified, that's Niskin Wala Seder, Ein Onu Poyschim B'Boruch. We don't open up the subsequent paragraphs with Boruch. V'yesh Shenoyagim Moimar B'Bone Yerushalayim Malchus. The Marsha explains this line as we're not saying this Yesh Noyagim is not suggesting that at the beginning of the Brocha it would open up with Malchus, but rather they would say in that paragraph, they would say like something like Ovinu Malkenu Roenu. That's in the third paragraph. That's the Yesh Noyagim. The next Tosfos, the Boruch Shinas and Shabbosus Lemelucha, this is referring to the Gemara that is at the lower part of the Daf, dealing with someone who mistakenly omitted the Ritzei of Shabbos. So he inserts into his Birchas Hamazon at the conclusion, after he finishes, he says, Bonei Bracha Mov Yerushalayim Omein. Before he starts the Hatova Meitiv, so he inserts this bracha. V'im Toimar, you might ask, V'ha Smuchahi, why does this open up with Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shenosan Shabbosus Lemelucha? So why do you have the whole opening bracha text using the bracha term? Is it not Smucha Lechaverta? Is it not coming right off of his having said Baruch Ato Hashem Bonei Bracha Mo Yerushalayim Omein? This Boruch Shenosan text that the Gemara mentions, one says when he forgets the Ritzei, it's not a text that's established as part of the Birchas Hamazon. It's an imported bracha. Elo le'oimra lefrokim kisheshokach Ritzei vachlitzenu ein ze korui smucha. It's said only on the occasion that he forgot to say Ritzei, then we insert this particular text. Therefore, it's not called Smucha Lechavertav, it's Sorich Psicha V'Boruch, and it needs to have its own opening Boruch text. U'bebrochus shel Shmoine Esrei Brochus, regarding the Shmoine Esrei that we daven several times a day, Kulam Smuchos Lebrochus Kael Chai V'Kayom. They're all called Somuch L'Chaverta, being Somuch to the Birchas Kriyashma, in which we see the term, in which we say Kael Chai V'Kayom. If one looks in the Marsha, there's a bit of a debate there of what is Tosis referring to here, but if I may take the liberty of suggesting my own shot on this, is that this is a reference to the first Brocha of the Kriyashma, of the Birchas Kriyashma, of the evening Kriyashma, where we say Kel Chai V'Kayom Tomid Yimloch Olenu Lilom Voed, and we say Baruch Ato Hashem Amari V'Arovim. That is that opened up with Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Asher Bidvoroi Mari V'Arovim V'Chulei Etc. And so the Tosus is referring to that first bracha of the Birchas Kriyashma by this short term Keil Chai V'Kayom, and a chain of brachas is basically established from there through the entire Shmoneh Esrei. So that's why each bracha of the Shmoneh Esrei doesn't need to open with the baruch. They're all a chain of brachas, that we call them all Somuch L'Chaverta. Inami, another explanation of the Shmoneh Esrei formulation, why each bracha doesn't open with a baruch, is Elokei Avraham Hainu Malchus. The Malchus, which is a requirement in bracha formulation, is found in the opening of the Shmoneh Esrei, and of course, as we said, all the other brachas follow suit and are called Somuch Chavertas, because at the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei, it's true we don't say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, but what we do say, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Velokei Avoseinu Elokei Avraham, etc., That is like saying Melech Olam. And how is that? Ken Amrinan, as the Gemara said earlier in the Masechta, Mishenivro Olam Lo Hoya Odom Shekoroi Lakosh Bochu Odon, from the time of creation, there was no one that called the Almighty by the term Odon, Master, Ad Shebo Avrom Vekoroi Odon, until Avrom Avinu came along and called him using the term Adon. Shenemar Hashem Elokim Mati Ten Li. So that you see the word Adnus, word, a reference to the Lord as the Master, and that fulfills the requirement of Malchus. The Marshal has difficulties with the first pshat of Tosfos in explaining the Shmon Esrei Smuchas Chavertos based on the fact that it's Somach Tekel Chai V'Kayom. And therefore the rest of the Shmon Esrei doesn't need to have Elokeinu Melech Olam anywhere in it. How are you going to explain the Mincha and Musaf Shmon Esreis, which don't have brachos that precede them, as is the case with the Shachris and Maariv, where they have Birchas Kriyashma that precede it. And therefore, Tosfos, the Marsha feels that the second, the Inami Pshat that we read here, Elokei Avrom, equals Malchus, is a better Pshat. And to rely on that Pshat will also give us an explanation for all the Shmona Esreis, including Musaf and Mincha, that are not preceded by Birchas Kriyashma. Tosfos goes on to point out regarding someone who missed the Shabbos reference, v'im hu Yom Tov, let's say it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, and he had missed the Ritzei. So v'omer, he says in his insert brocha, he says, Boruch shenosan Shabbosos l'menucha v'yomim tovim li'amo Yisrael l'simcha. That there is a need for referring to the day as not only Shabbos, but also as Yom Tov. V'chein ki miklas Shabbos v'Rosh Chodesh. And similarly, in a situation where Rosh Chodesh coincided with Shabbos, and he forgot to make his Shabbos reference. So when making this, when inserting this, we'll call this insert bracha, you are to acknowledge that it happens to be Rosh Chodesh as well. We continue with Tosfos on Omid Beis at the top of the Omid. E boy ochil, the e boy lo ochil. This is a reference to someone who ate and forgot to mention Rosh Chodesh in his Birchas Hamazon. So there's no requirement for him to go back and repeat the Birchas Hamazon with the hope of his inserting the Yale Viovo. And the reason for that is because he, with regard to Rosh Chodesh, eating is something that is optional. If he wants to eat, he can eat, and if he doesn't, then not. This is, the Gemara presented this in, is in contrast with Shmona Esrei, where if he deletes the Rosh Chodesh reference, he must go back, because Shmona Esrei is not something that we would classify as something optional, it's rather mandatory. The Tosfos asks, and you'll notice we have a marking scheme in the Tosfos. We open up with a triangle situation or a scheme where we want to follow a certain pattern of give and take. So Tosfos says, "V'ho havi Rosh Chodesh miyoyme dolo lis'anois b'hoin b'megillas Tainis." Megillas Tainis is a Tanaic work that lists different holidays and events in the Jewish calendar, some of which are forbidden to eulogize on them, and some are forbidden to fast. So Rosh Chodesh is classified in Megillas Tainis as one of those days that's forbidden to fast, knows you have to eat. So how can the Gemara describe Rosh Chodesh as Iboy Ochil V'Iboy Lo Ochil, if you want, you don't have to eat, when you, in fact you do have to eat? V'yesh lomar, so to answer this, d'hachi pirusho, to explain our Gemara in light of the Megillas Tainis, iboy ochil, v'iboy lo ochil pas. As far as Rosh Chodesh is concerned, the eating of bread is something that's optional. Fasting is
not in the cards. You've got to eat. But no one says you have to eat bread. So, as far as bread is concerned, we can say, Iboy lo ochel pas, she chiyavnu bebrichas hamazon. Eating bread would have required him to say brichas hamazon, but bread he doesn't have to eat. Therefore, to say that that Rosh Chodesh is a day that has a potential chiyu brichas hamazon in it is just not true. Avol biyom tov, but in contrast with yom tov, tzorich lechol pas. And therefore, with regard to Yom Tov, if he forgets to say Yalev V'Yavo, he would have to go back and say the Birchas HaMazon again. The Tema question is raised. The Amrinin B'Sukkah, we say Maseches Sukkah, Iboy Ochil, V'Iboy Lo Ochil, Chutz Milaylo HaRishono. With regard to the holiday of Sukkot, he has a choice of eating or not eating, except for the first night. Diyolif tesvav tesvav michagas amatzis. The Torah has a gzeirah shovav, word comparison concerning the 15th of Tishrei with the 15th of Nisan, which is the holiday of Pesach, when there's an obligation on the night of Pesach, the first night, to eat matzah. So on the first night of Sukkot, there's an obligation to eat. But the rest of Sukkot, including the first day, so there's no obligation. And that's why we dashed underline the E boy lo ochil. So how is it that our Gemara says that on Yom Tov, there is an obligation in contrast with Rosh Chodesh, when even on Yom Tov itself, there is no obligation with the exception of the first night. V'yesh lomar, d'hochi pirusho, she'eno tzorich lechol besukah im lo yirtze. Avol b'shvil Yom Tov tzorich lechol. But the Gemara in Sukkah is saying, iboy lo ochil, which we dashed underlined just a few lines up, what it means is, if he doesn't want, he doesn't have to eat in the sukkah. Meaning the requirement of sitting in a sukkah and eating in a sukkah is something that we can say applies to the first night. But the requirement of eating and sitting in a sukkah does not apply to the first day, just the first night. Ve'im toimar mai nafka mina im tzorach lechol b'shvil Yom Tov o b'shvil Sukkos. You might ask, are we here splitting hairs? What difference does it make whether you say that you're obligated to eat because of Yom Tov, which in effect we are saying, that on Yom Tov, our Gemara is saying, on Yom Tov day, you do have to eat, because we're contrasting that with Rosh Chodesh, which is a day you don't have to eat, but Yom Tov you do have to eat, and of course we mean eat bread, and we're now saying that as far as eating in the sukkah, so that you don't have to do. But what nafka mina is there? Because after all is said and done, if you're going to tell me that you have to eat because it's Yom Tov, you're going to end up eating in the sukkah. So what that you're not eating because you have to be in a sukkah, but you're going to end up being there because if you're eating on sukkahs, you've got to eat in the sukkah. True, the mechayev is not the sukkah, but the mechayev is the fact that it's Yom Tov. But what difference does it make? Umi Omer Rabbeinu Yehuda, the nafka mina, there is a difference, and we're not splitting hairs, but there is a practical difference between saying that the chiyuv achila is because of the sukkah versus saying that the chiyuv achila is because it's Yom Tov. The nafkamina kagon shiyordu gishomim v'ochlu chutz l'sukkah. Imagine a case where it was raining and he ate outside the sukkah. You don't have to eat in the sukkah while it's actually raining. The hashta im l'chvod Yom Tov shapir. If you say that his meal was
because it was Yom Tov motivated, then he ate outside the sukkah. He fulfilled his obligation to the maximum. He doesn't need to do any more. Avol im b'shvil sukkah, but if you say that the meal on the first day of Yom Tov is because he has to eat it in the sukkah, then b'yom tov im b'shvil sukkah b'yom tov rishon tzorich lachzor v'lechol b'sukkah la'achar shivsuku hagishomim. The alfinon tesvav tesvav mechag hamatzis. Avo b'shar yomim eino tzorich. So with regard to that first meal of Sukkot, where we say that the mechayev is not just the fact that it's Yom Tov, but you have to eat mitzad, that it's a sukkah, that you have to eat it in the sukkah. So there you'll have to wait. And when the rain stops, you've got to go back into, you've got to go into the sukkah and eat another, we'll say another kezias of bread. The same would not apply regarding the rest of the days. That's what's significant about the Gzeirah Shavah of Tesvav, Tesvav, that we learn from the holiday of Pesach. The Ha, the Amrino, the Perek Elu Dvorim, that which we say in Perek Elu Dvorim, in Psochim, Mar Breid Ravino Havi Yosef Betanisa Kula Shosa, that Mar Breid Ravino sat all year in fasting. It sounds from that that he was fasting on Yom Tov. Well, how does that square away with what we're saying in our Gemara, that Yom Tov is a day that you're not allowed, that you're obligated to eat? The practice of Mar Brei Ravino was simply because he had experienced very disturbing dreams, and with regard to the need to fast as a result of a disturbing dream, that one does, he will fast even on Yom Tov. Avol b'shar tanios also, but regarding other kinds of fasting, that would be forbidden on Yom Tov. Another topic that Tosfos raises is Usuda Shlishis Shel Shabbos. Regarding the third Shabbos meal, there's a nighttime meal, a morning meal, and an afternoon meal on Shabbos. Let us say one forgot to say the Ritzei in the Birchas Hamazon of the Suda Shlishis. Hoya Mesupuk Ri. The Ri was in doubt regarding our sugi of does he have to go back and say the Birchas Hamazon again? The Shema I Boi Lo Ochil Elo Mine Targima. Kidapirush Rabbeinu Tam, Kidamrinon, Besuda Sukkah. It could be that the third meal of Shabbos does not need to have one eating bread, but rather he could fulfill it by eating Mine Targima, non-bread food items. What Mine Targima in reality is, so there is a Machlokis Rashi and Tosfos in Maseches Sukkah as to what is considered Mine Targima, but for our purposes, it's not bread. So, because of the possibility of the Chiyuv Suda Shlishis being fulfilled with non-bread, so the necessity of a Birchas Hamazon for Suda Shlishis is not a given. And therefore, even in the event that he did eat bread, but missed the Ritzei, he missed the reference to Shabbos, it would be similar to missing the reference to Rosh Chodesh in a Rosh Chodesh Birchas Hamazon. But by virtue of the fact that the meal is not something that's obligatory, you don't have an obligatory bread meal, so that relieves one from the need to go back to say the Birchas Hamazon in the event that he forgot the Yalav Yovo of Rosh Chodesh or the Ritzei of the third Shabbos meal. Umiu b'ksubis perik afalpi, in the fifth perik of ksubis, choshiv gabi mashri ishto la yedei sholish sholish sudish mishal Shabbos im kein mashma de kulam Shabbos. From the sugya in Maseches Ksubis, which deals with a person who went abroad and he had to leave an account for his wife, so calculation is made, how much does a person need, in this case, how much does this wife need per week of meals? And it's calculated that there are the number of meals that are eaten will include three for Shabbos, indicating that each Shabbos meal is on equal footing with the other. So that would then make the ritzei of the Suda Shlishis an integral part of the Birchas HaMazon. And if he would miss it, according to this approach, then he would have to say the Birchas HaMazon again. The Oid, Kevon the Alfinon Mimon, Almo de Shavos Hain. Since the three meals of Shabbos, and we emphasize including the Suda Shlishis, is learned from the Mon, so they're all on equal footing. And the missing of the ritzei in the third meal, Birchas HaMazon, would be no different than missing ritzei in the first or second meal of Shabbos. Umiu im ochal suda revius. If a person ate a fourth meal on Shabbos, v'shochach shel Shabbos, if he's now eating and benching after his fourth meal on Shabbos, and forgot to say ritzei, lo oder l'reisha, he won't go back to the beginning. The Vadai, it certainly is the case, the boy lo ochil hach suda revius klal. A fourth meal on Shabbos is certainly something that's purely optional, and therefore the need for Birchas HaMazon, the need at the outset to have a fourth meal and then say Birchas HaMazon, is purely optional, and therefore we would classify it as e boy lo ochil. And as we saw in the Gemara, when you have a situation like that and you missed the reference to that particular day, you will not say the Birchas HaMazon again. Ad kamo mizamnin. This is a reference to the quantity of food that one would have had to eat in order to have a zimun. Tosfos points out very importantly, hu hadin Birchas HaMazon, below zimun. The question of how much would one have had to eat, whether it's a kezias or a kebetza, is a question that applies equally to the basic Birchas HaMazon itself, even outside the context of a zimun where a group is formed and one recites the Birchas HaMazon for others. Ela Rabusa Ashminan, the Gemara is telling us a chiddush by presenting this issue under zimun circumstances, that filu al kezias mizamnin, that even on such a small quantity as an olive quantity of bread, a zimun could be formed. That itself is a chiddush, and that's why the issue of ad kamo, what's the minimum amount of food, is spoken about in the context of a zimun, and not limited to the context of the basic Birchas HaMazon. The issue of quantities was tied in the course of the Gemara's discussion. Initially, Gemara thought there was a seeming contradiction, and then the Gemara we presented, Rav Yochanan's approach was in fact switch things around, and Abaye said you don't have to switch things around, but the topic under discussion was someone who had a sacrificial meat with him, and he left the Beis HaMikdash, and it became possible through Yotze, does he have to go back to the Beis HaMikdash to burn the meat? So we saw a Tanaic source that said that if he passed im ovar tsoifim sorfa b'mekoymoi, he's already gone too far out, he's passed tsoifim, so he burns it where he remembers that he had the meat with him. So what is tsoifim? So pirush Rashi b'psochim. What Tosfos does here is he quotes Rashi and Psochim. It says Mokon Shishmo Sofim. There is a specific place called Sofim, and so if he passed that place, he will not go back and burn it at the Har Abayas, but where he is. V'lo Nihira. It doesn't appear though that this is the pshat. The imkain Havilei LeMeimar Uchamidoso L'Chol Ruach. If Sofim is a specific place, you have to imagine using a little geometry for a moment, Jerusalem, or the Har Habayis, we'll call it the center of a circle. The radius, the distance that we're referring to, forms a radius from the Beis Hamikdash to, using Rashi's pshat, a specific point called Sofim. Then the halacha said by the Gemara should have been, they should have added a phrase, Uchamidasu l'choruach, and a similar distance in all directions, so that you would take this, you would take the radius formed by Harabayas to Tzofim, and then draw a circle using the using that dimension forming the circle's radius, a circle in all, you know, completely around Har Habayis, Temple Mount. And this kind of phrasing is actually found Kidomar Hosam Gabi Modin Ulifnim, where also in Psachim the issue of distance comes up, and it mentions from Modin, which is a place outside of Yerushalayim, and from there that distance, and it says they're in all directions. Elo Yesh Lomar She'eno Mokoim. The reference here of Tzofim is not a specific location. V'Tzofim Havi Loshen Re'iyah means from any place. If you passed any point outside Yerushalayim from which you could see the Har Habayis, so then you can burn the meat where you are. V'achi pirusha im hirchik Yerushalayim kol kach, if you distance yourself so far, she'eno yochol liros Yerushalayim, that you can't see Yerushalayim anymore, sorfo b'mukomo, then burn the meat where you are, where you remember that you have the korban meat with you. It's worth noting, though, and the Rebbe Akiva Eiger makes this point, that one ought to note the Rashi further on here on Daf Samach Aleph and Beis, where in fact Rashi explains along the lines that Tosfos himself suggests. Tzofim meaning a place from which you can see the Har Habayis. The next Tosfos, Rabbi Meir Sovar, V'ochalta zu achila, V'achila b'kezayis. This was under Abaye's explanation of no need to reverse the source to align it with what our Mishnah teaches, because Rabbi Meir, in the realm of Birchas Hamazon, darshens the pasuk of the Achalta v'Sevata, and Achila will be B'Kezayis. Eating of the Torah is defined as an olive quantity. The Omer Hori, the Hani Kroi, using these psukim, as the Gemara did, V'Ochalta, Zub, Achila, and Achila B'Kezayis, and we saw by Rebuta said, Rebuta holds Kebetza, V'Ochalta V'Sevata, means an Achila that has Sevia, an Achila that leads to satisfaction, and that's an egg quantity. All of this is a, we'll call an Asmachta, Tosfos calls it Asmachta Yomori, Tani Kroi Asmachta B'Alma Ninu. Asmachta indicates to us that it's not an actual Torah source, but rather it's a reference point for a rabbinic teaching. The midoraisa boinon svia gemura, for one to be obligated in Birchas Hamazon on a Torah level, on a doraisa level, one has to read total satisfaction. Not what the Gemara says over here, achilo sheyesh bo svia, and that's kibetza. An egg quantity is not going to lead for most people to a svia gemura. Only at Sviya Gemura, complete satisfaction, will one become obligated in Birchas Hamazon on a Doraisa level. Kida Omar Perek Misha Mesoi, as is indicated in the third Perek, namely that Kezayis and Kebetza is not letter of the law. As the Gemara there says, V'chilo es uponim l'Yisrael v'chulei, the Gemara there is referring to the Almighty being challenged as someone who claims on the one hand not to accept bribery when he himself does show favoritism to the Jewish people, and the Almighty responds, of course I show favoritism to Jewish people, how can I not? I told them that they have to bless Birchas Hamazon only when they are completely full, and yet they on their own bless the Birchas Hamazon by even having eaten a much smaller quantity. So you see that that smaller quantity is not the actual letter of the law obligation. V'chein amrinan hasam, and likewise in the third parak it says ben mevorech le'aviv, that a son, a minor, can say the Birchas Hamazon for his adult father, umoikim law, and it's established b'man de'ochil shi'ura de'rabbanan. It's true if the adult, the father, in that case, ate a rabbinic quantity. Pirush Rashi, hainu kezayis o kebeitza. And Rashi explains that that shiur de rabbonin is kezayis kebeitza. Again, another proof that kezayis kebeitza, even though our Gemara attaches it to a pasuk, it's only an asmachta. So far, you see in our marking scheme the use of the triangles to emphasize this point that only sevil gemura deraisa, kezayis and kebeitza are rabbinic. The oid e kezayis o kebeitza v'deraisa. Furthermore, if olive quantity or egg quantity were classified as Torah obligated, ezu shiur derabbanan, so what do you leave? What do you leave as an option for a rabbinic shiur? V'kaimulon bekezayis. Now, after all said and done, and our Gemara leaves you with a machlokis, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, about what is the minimum quantity for Birchas Hamazon. Is it an olive quantity or is it an egg quantity? So Tosfos says we hold that it's an olive quantity, which is a smaller shiur, and we have diamonds here to show each time that Tosfos brings a proof to this point. The lefima shemachlif Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, here in our Gemara he switched shitas around. According to his switch around, ka'omar Rabbi Yehuda v'kezayis. According to the switch around, Rabbi Yehuda comes out to saying that Birchas Hamazon would be bekezayis. In other words, what Rabbi Yochanan does is, in light of the Mishnah and Psachim, Rabbi Yochanan switches our Mishnah around and has Rabbi Yehuda saying, instead of ad kebeitza, which is the text we have, Rabbi Yochanan switches it around to saying ad kezayis. And when you have a machloikis, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, halachic Rabbi Yehuda, we will paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So we're assuming Rabbi Yochanan's switch around, leading to Rabbi Yehuda being the one to say kezayis, so we will opt for that over Rabbi Meir, who would, as a result of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir would have been saying kebeitza. The gam le'abaye delo machlif, Rabbi Meir islay ad kezayis. And likewise, according to Abaye, who does not switch the names around and leaves Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah as holding a kezayis. So what are we going to do with the fact that it's Rabbi Meir holding a kezayis, and we know that we would ordinarily paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and yet you're telling me stick with the kezayis quantity as the standard for basic Birchas Hamazon? So even though it's Rabbi Meir that holds ad kezayis, nira da halachic Rabbi Meir bekezayis, we will nevertheless follow Rabbi Meir. Afal gav divamo Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda halachic Rabbi Yehuda. Even though in general, when you have a machlokes Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Beho halachic Rabbi Meir. In this case, we're going to go like Rabbi Meir. Da kimlei Rabbi Yochanan b'shitaso li'el. Because we see in the Gemara earlier, Rabbi Yochanan adopting that shita, the kezayis shita, we saw in Daf Mem Chesam and Aleph that one cannot exempt others from their Birchas Hamazon obligation until they eat a kezayis. We dash on a kezayis, but see, Rabbi Yochanan was a major authority in determining psak holds from kezayis. V'chein li'el gabi shocha kezayis maliach. And likewise, in the case where he ate a kezayis of maliach. So you see the kezayis shiur is emphasized. V'chein pasak behag, v'rach, v'shiltos. And likewise, these other major legal works, the behag and the Rabbeinu Chanan and the shiltos, all paskin kezayis. And now Tosfos says something that is controversial, we'll say, especially in light of Rabbi Akiva Eger, who says The Tosfos says, "Lo inyan shtia al mari yesh lahachmi levorach afilu bepachos mo lugmav."
When it comes to a final bracha for shtia, for drinking, even if one drank less than a cheek full, he should make a bracha achrona. Afal gav dilin yom kippurim lesa, even though one would not be considered in violation of Yom Kippur if he drank less than a melo lugmav. So you might have thought that less than a melo lugmav is of no consequence, even as far as a final bracha. Lo yalfino minol inyan bracha. We don't learn from the dinim of Yom Kippur to the dinim to the laws of brachas. The dinim of Yom Kippur have to do with violation of the mitzvah of inui, where a person is supposed to subject himself to discomfort on Yom Kippur, and the discomfort is a necessary. It's called inui, is necessary on Yom Kippur, and one undoes the inui only if he consumes a lugmav. But less than that, he wouldn't be undoing the discomfort of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is therefore governed by a different standard, not by standards of achila and shtia, but rather of inui, yes inui or not inui. So we don't learn from Yom Kippur le'inyan brocha. Teida, le'inyan brocha samozon b'kezayas. And when it comes to solid foods, we know that with regard to brocha samozon, we would say it if one ate a kezayas. Le'inyan yom kippurim adahave dafke kikoseves. A person is not in violation of Yom Kippur unless he eats a date quantity, which is larger than an olive quantity, so that we see that the shiurim of Yom Kippur are different, and we might as well say are larger. Therefore, regarding drinking, the Ri will tell you that even if you drank less than a low lugmav, less than the Yom Kippur shiur, one nevertheless will be obligated to say a final bracha. As we said, the Rabbi Kiva Eger has a problem with this, and that is that how can you be machmir regarding an issue which is basically a suffix? And because we have a klal of suffix brachos lahakel. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger leaves this as requiring further investigation. We continue with the Tosfos, Nevorech Elokeinu Gar Sinon. Here Tosfos deals with the text, and specifically a letter. We say in the Zimun paragraph, if you have a group of 10, so one will say Baruch Elokeinu Shochanu Mishalo, and not Leilokeinu, with don't put a lamed before the Almighty's name. Velo garsinu novech Leilokeinu balamed, the dafli gabi shir vohidok siv lamed. Only in the case of song and thanks do we use the lamed, insert the lamed, kamo shiru lashem, sing praise to Hashem, hodu lashem, gadlu lashem. All of these are expressions of shira and hodah. Avagabi bracha, when it comes to blessing, lo motzinu zeha loshen, chemufurish beseder Rav Amram. And likewise, this accuracy or this exactness is expressed in Rav Amram's text. Rav Amram being one of the earliest formal siddur works that we have. And he likewise does not have a lamed, because here we're dealing with bracha as opposed to shir and hoidah. The next Tosfos, Amar Rabbi Kiva, Ma Motzinu Beis HaKnesses Echon Asora. We saw Rabbi Kiva arguing against Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili had made numerous distinctions when it came to number changes. The text of the Birchas Hamazon Zimun would change from 10 to 100 to 1,000, 10,000. And Rabbi Kiva says, why so much attention to different numbers when you find in shul, when it comes to a person getting aliyah to the Torah, the same text is used whether it's 10 people in the shul or there are 1,000 people in the shul.
He said in our Gemara, in the Mishnah, toward the end of the Mishnah, you can even see this by looking in the text, three lines from the bottom. And no text change because there's a large number. Would seem that Rabbi Yosef Lili agrees to Rabbi Kiva when it comes to the prayer in shul. From the fact that Rabbi Kiva says ma motzinu, he says, well, just like we find in shul klomer shato modeli, you would agree with me in the shul situation that whether it's a very small group of people, a minimum of 10, or a very large assembly of 10,000, the same text is used when saying baruch hu. So that being said, umay shnod the pligi bebruchas amazon morbeis is a knesses. And why is it this way that they argue when it comes to Birchas HaMazon and agree with regard to the shul? Or if you want to be more specific, why is it that Rav Yossi Haglili requires differentiation when it comes to the Zimun setup and does not expect differentiation when it comes to the shul scenario? V'yesh lomar devadai lo choku bein asorah lemeah b'tefilah. It's certainly the case that there is no argument whether it's 10 or 100 when it comes to tefillah, because when it comes to tefillah, the elu nichnos velu yotzim v'lav adaita d'shlech tzibor. People are constantly going in and out of the shul, so the shlech tzibor isn't going to be aware at any given point, are there now 100 people in shul or not? People are always going back and forth, so we have to have a standard text. So we take the basic 10, the text for the basic 10, and apply it 10 and above. Avol bebirchas hamazon shein kvuin umurovin shom yachad, where there's a group of people that are all together, they're all mixed together, seated together, and they're not going in and out. They ate a meal, finished, and they're fixed. They're affixed there. Ein litois b'zeh, there's no room for error. She'ein yoytzin ad lachar birchas hamazon. No one's going to be leaving until after birchas hamazon. So the person leading the birchas hamazon will see how many people are there, and based on that number, says the brocha. There's no reason to think that he's not going to be aware, and therefore we can, as far as Rav Yossi's Gli is concerned, we can assign different texts for different numbers, and the person leading the Birchas HaMazon will know how many people are there and adjust his text accordingly. L'aylim al yoytzi odom es atzma min haklal. Shmuel at the opening of the Mort, the second line from the bottom, had said l'aylim al yoytzi odom atzma min haklal, and it would seem that Shmuel was arguing for the text of Nevorech Elokeinu, as opposed to saying Baruchu. So the Tosfos says, Uporch Mishalmi min hakorei b'Torah umin hachazon shomer Baruchu. On the one hand, Shmuel says a person should not take himself out of the group, and by saying Nevorech means let us bless Hashem, as opposed to the expression Baruch Hu, you. It's an instruction to others, excluding the speaker himself. And if Shmuel is correct, then why in shul, when someone is called to the Torah or the Chazon is leading the davening at the beginning of the, or at the end, at the end of Pesukei Dezimra, he issues a call, he calls out Baruch Hu, you bless, Baruch Hu es Hashem. And is he not being motzi es atzmo min haklal through that text? Is he not excluding himself from the rest of the community, being that he's instructing them and he's not included? So the Yerushalmi explains, kevon shomer ha-mivoroch, we say, baruch hu es Hashem ha-mivoroch, an instruction to the community, bless Hashem, who is blessed. So when he says who is blessed, ein zeh motzi atzmo min haklal, he's thereby included in that. So that by adding hamavorach, which actually we saw in the Mishnah, that was Rabbi Shmuel's suggestion. So you don't have the problem of being motzi atzmo min haklal. Tnan shloisha v'hu omer baruchu. This was brought as a question on Shita Shmuel, quote from our Mishnah, where you have three plus the one leading the Birchas Hamazon, the Mezamein, you say Borchu. Sakadai to Hashta, the Borchu Odif. At this point in the Gemara, the thought is that Borchu is better, is a higher level expression. Mishum the Borchu Hainu Tzivui Levorachas Hashem. It's a command. It's a statement of obligation to bless the Almighty. Avol Nivorech Einu Elo Netilas Rishus. Nivorech is a lighter expression where the speaker is trying to receive permission from his compatriots. Let us bless Hashem, which is, as the Torah is called, Netilas Rishus, which is less authoritative, less forceful, and hence less significant. The Tosfos at the top says of Daf Nun Amud Aleph, Elo Shma Mino Nevorech Odif. The Gemara had made a point and said, in response to the Kasha on Shmuel, Emo Af Baruchu. In other words, when it says in the Mishnah Shloishivu Omer Baruchu, it means Bishloshvu Omer Af Baruchu, that even Baruchu is an option. And the Gemara says at the top of Dafnun, Umikomokom Nivorech Odif. Tosfos focuses on the word Odif. Lav Dafke Odif, Tosfos says. Odif generally means better. But we're not to take the word odif to mean here better. Eloki hadodi ninhu, the odif hainu choshuv kamoi, hainu choshuv kamo hekesha odif, xeroshadva odif. We see the word odif that even though, and if you were to give it simple meaning, it would mean superior to or better than, in this context, it simply means it is significant. It is likewise significant. So that the Mishnah is saying you can say Baruch Hu, but you can also, in other words, you can also say Baruch Hu in addition to Odif, in addition to Nevarach, which is also significant. And we see the term Odif in that context where the Gemara says, for example, that a Hekish is Odif, or a Xereshova is Odif, meaning that these are significant forms of Limud, but not that one is better than the other. And Tosfos explains, let's read from the second line, Kamo Hekesh Odif, Xereshav Odif, Perek Ez Mekomen, in the fifth Perek of Masechet Zvochim, Ritzon Olomar, where Ritzon Olomar, the Hekesh, Choshuv ve'ein levat lo mitnei agzera shava, where we're saying that a hekish is significant and one should not abandon it because there is a gzera shava. V'hochinami ko'omar, and likewise over here we say nevorech choshuv kemo baruchu, that when it says in the Gemara nevorech odif, it means that nevorech is important, is significant like baruchu. Ulefikach lo yotzi atzmo min haklal, and since Nevorech is as significant as Baruchu, not that it's better than, but it's as significant as, so therefore one should opt for Nevorech so as not to exclude himself from the others. Vakuntris mochek odif, and the Rashi feels that that the word odif should not be in the text. Umihu alsi shapir odif kidukrashna, but Tosfos says you can keep the word odif in the text. It works out well as we explained. With that, we conclude our Tosfos Shiur for today.